Getting there on time just isn't good enough. Traffic and weather on the 10s with Wills and Snyder in the morning on WTAM 1100, Cleveland's News Radio.
Hi, this is Bill Wills. Our buddy Matt Granite, Channel 3's morning news is in. Wills Ways to Save. You and I were talking the other day. Monday had some big presidential deals and things. Interesting time of the year on what's being discounted. You're working on some betting stuff for us this morning, right?
I am. And this is actually one of the items that sold out President's Day. Back just in time, betting just absolutely huge this time of year, change of seasons, people looking to get a little bit more cozy, whatever it is that's happening. One of my favorite deals, and I'll just let you know that something that's usually $120 is $29.99. That's substantial. You're saving $90 at least just based off the MSRP, full queen, king, California king, twin XL, whatever it is you're looking for. The top down alternative comforters this time of year are hypoallergenic. So they're designed for healthy living, but also allergy sufferers. Luxury comforters provide sort of an alternative to those really, really messed up pieces of garbage that stores are trying to pawn off this time of year. The one I found today is machine washable, and it kind of feels like you're getting into a toasty bed in the winter, but it's breathable in the summer and in that change of seasons. The comforter set that I found today from one of the top brands, you can read the ratings. Hundreds of perfect reviews from one of the top comforter makers and sheet makers in the world. Free delivery, free returns if you don't like it. WTAM.com using the keyword save and bill. Just from President's Day, more than 17,000 people bought this exact comforter
set.
Wow.
I mean, you can really waste a lot of money on this stuff over the years, too. So it's good to go with quality, and Granite's got it tracked down for you. WTAM.com. Keyword save. Thanks, Matt.
Awesome.
You get Mike Snyder Sports Mornings, 15 to 45 past on News Radio, WTAM, 1100. U.S. hockey team missed a late start last night.
Yeah, they had a late one and a disappointing end. Boy, they played well, Bill. You know, they were out there without any NHL players involved this year, and they took the Czech Republic really to the limit. They lose in a shootout 3-2 in the quarterfinals, so they are out. We'll have more from Pyeongchang in minutes about the hockey team and everything else going on in the game. Games. Indians are gearing up for the games that don't count as they take on the Reds Friday in the Cactus League opener. Mike Clevinger has been named as the starter for that game, and he is competing for a job in the rotation.
I mean, everyone's proved their spot. Everyone deserves a spot here. And it's just going to come down to who executes, and it's going to be a fun battle. I mean, we're just going to push each other to raise the bar just like we do during.
Now, with Danny Salazar dealing with a sore shoulder at the moment, it's three pitchers vying for two spots. Clevinger, Ryan Merritt, who will also pitch on Friday, and Josh Tomlin. They're fighting for the last two spots in the Tribe's rotation. Indians and Reds will go at it Friday afternoon at 3. You'll be able to hear it right here. Cavs will be back on the radio tomorrow night when they host the Wizards as they gather at Cleveland Clinic Court today. Actually, today will be the first practice for the new arrivals at the Cavaliers training facility. Cavs and Washington tomorrow night at 8. College ball last night, Ohio State got back into the winning column as the Buckeyes defeated Rutgers 79-52. Ohio State now 23-7. They'll wrap up the regular season Friday at Indiana. Yes, the regular season about to end as we get into tournament time. Louisville's been stripped of its 2013 men's basketball title. This goes back to that stripper scandal, escort service scandal that the school was struck down on. They had appealed. Now the title has been vacated. High school of note last night, two of the top teams in the area and really the state squared off. St. Ed's beat Solon by a score of 84-70. Now coming up at 5:45, the flu bug has made its way into Arizona and it has bitten several tribe players. We'll go to Goodyear for the very latest coming up in sports. Home of the Indians and the Cavs, Mike Snyder, News Radio WTAM 1100. Time now for an Olympic update.
Olympic update from NBC News Radio.
Here's the latest from Pyeongchang, and last night the U.S. men's hockey team went to a shootout with the Czech Republic with a trip to the semifinals on the line. The Czechs win it 3-2 after scoring just once in the five-round shootout. Ryan Donato and Jim Slater scoring the goals for the U.S. The American women battle four-time defending champ Canada for the gold medal at 11:10 Eastern Time tonight. The U.S. back in the title game for the third straight time. Yesterday, 33-year-old Lindsey Vonn made history in her final Olympic downhill run, winning the bronze medal to become the oldest woman to medal in alpine skiing. Olympic update. Paul DeCastro, NBC News Radio.
President Trump holds a listening session today. What might he hear?
We don't think that people should be able to possess a semi-automatic, which can be a weapon of mass destruction.
We don't want to take anyone's Second Amendment rights away. We don't. That's not our goal. But, you know, we do want to make sure that people who have the potential to be dangerous, people who are dangerous, are not able to easily access guns.
Just a few moments ago, I signed a memorandum directing the Attorney General to propose regulations to ban all devices that turn legal weapons into machine guns.
All right, Bill Zempfer joins me this morning. Bill, good morning. Let's start with the end of that and President Trump with this announcement on the bump stocks, which a lot of people thought should have happened after Vegas.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, Bill, there is legislation that is it's still in Congress having to do with a ban on bump stocks. It was presented by Dianne Feinstein. That is still there. So there already is legislation somewhere in Congress having to do with banning bump stocks. And here's the issue. Congress is looking to the ATF and saying it is their responsibility to regulate this stuff. They should do it. The ATF is looking at Congress saying we can't regulate bump stocks unless Congress changes a law. Here is the issue. Machine guns are banned in this country. You cannot own a machine gun. The question is, does a bump stock equal a machine gun? And right now, it looks like it does not. And the Justice Department has already started this review process. They started it back in December. And part of that is public commentary. They have to get public comment on the issue. They have to look at other issues involved as well. And at one point, Attorney General Jeff Sessions had said 85% of the comments were against reclassifying a bump stock modified weapon as a machine gun. So that is the big issue.
On the listening today, the cameras will be there, some microphones, some PR. But look, this is the big story right now.
It sure is. And he will get an earful, no doubt. Today he's going to meet with students and teachers and parents of school children. Tomorrow he'll be meeting with local and state government officials to talk about the issue as well. He will get an earful on this. And what people are looking for is for the government to do something regarding school safety and regarding automatic weapons and assault weapons. And we saw in Florida yesterday, lawmakers there kind of launched a preemptive move as they voted against opening debate on an assault weapons ban.
All right, Bill Zempfer on it this morning. More will play out throughout the day. Updates top and bottom of the hour and online, WTAM.com. Thanks, Bill.
You're welcome.
All right, political analyst Alex Castellanos with me on this. Okay, look, one thing to have letters and emails going to D.C., but when you've got kids showing up, that probably gets more attention, Alex?
Absolutely. When you have kids saying adults fail to protect us, at the schools, at our own schools, we have to protect ourselves. When you see them on the march, that's very powerful. But Washington's going to be very limited in its capacity to do anything about it.
This point has been made several times, but sadly, after the Vegas shooting, even the NRA was in agreement doing something on bump stocks. You do a Google search, you'll find you've had a few cities, couple of states, maybe strengthen the laws, but other than that, nothing from the feds.
Nothing from the feds, and that's because there's little actually that the feds can do. America has more guns than people. If you're going to say people with mental health problems shouldn't have guns, great, but 13% of Americans are taking Prozac or some kind of antidepressant. How do you do that? Do you ban all guns? Australia has taken that step and in some ways a bit effective. Paris in France, they have almost no guns, the toughest bans in the country, yet they still had the massacre at the concert. So I think you're going to see the debate go in a different direction, which is school safety. Politicians, movie stars, important people have armed security. Why don't we do more to protect our kids in schools?
Great point. Alex, let me follow the money for just a minute and consider the source, the New York Times. But there is a story today that several high GOP donors are calling out saying, look, I'm not sending you money unless you get on the record about this whole assault ban. And that could play out in some races, I guess.
That could play out in some races. If you grab them by the wallet, their hearts will follow. And that's what's happening here. There's also a proposal to say, look, banks and credit card companies, you control how America shops. Why don't you put pressure on gun manufacturers, on gun sales? If Walmart, gun shops don't do more to protect us and not to put guns in the hands of the wrong people, don't do business with them.
Great point, Alex Castellanos, on what we're hearing and talking about here in the last 24 hours on this horrible shooting end in Florida. Alex, thanks.
And now, 5 good minutes.
Harassment in the workplace. A couple of stories this morning. Nationally, you'll see this play out. NBA issuing a statement. Sports Illustrated is going with a story about the Dallas Mavericks organization. NBA responding, saying the alleged conduct runs counter to the steadfast commitment the league has for its teams to foster a safe, respectful, and welcoming workplace for all employees. Several stories about the environment Mark Cuban has in the front office in Dallas. Meanwhile, around here, our Catherine Bosley, CatherineBosley.com, uncovering some jaw-dropping workplace assault harassment charges against a local fast food manager. Catherine, good morning. What'd you find?
Good morning. Well, this is incredible. This case was just filed with the Summit County Common Pleas Court last week. It's in regards to a manager. His name is Mr. Schiminelli, Michael Schiminelli. I believe it's pronounced that way. And the charges against him from 6 plaintiffs, 5 of them are women, 1 is an openly gay man, and most of them were underage during these alleged incidents. They're just jaw-dropping. Allegations include things like he'd approach these people from behind, grabbing at their hips, rubbing his pelvic region against their buttocks, brushing his hands against their breasts as he was walking past them. I mean, this list goes on and on and on. This is at a company called BurgerFi. It's basically a gourmet fast food burger joint, and it's based in Florida. And that's where this gentleman was originally from, Florida, and he came up here about a year and a half ago or so and started running the 2 restaurants in our area, which include one in Cuyahoga Falls and one in the Mentor area. So when I got my hands on this lawsuit, I was floored, and it so goes with irrelevant to today's environment, and it's such a red flag, I think, to teenagers who are out there working and to their parents who, you know, maybe the kids aren't really that much aware of what's going on. And these kids, though, they band together and they kind of figured out that they really have something here and this is wrong and they're not going to endure this kind of workplace environment any longer.
So it's in the courts, the suit. Is he still at the company?
He is on leave or suspended, and that just happened recently,
Okay. Apparently.
So, and he lives in the area. Now, I reached out to him, I reached out to his superior, I reached out to his company, and I've gotten nothing in return. I got no response from him. But, you know, he's no stranger to the law either. Apparently, there was a case about him in Florida where he came out against a woman, perhaps even brutally, a woman that he knew was pregnant. So that was apparently a big problem here. He roughed up a young lady, and he apparently was bragging about doing it a little bit. So he was boasting, apparently, to other BurgerFi employees, allegedly. So you can find his mugshot pretty easily. So this is something that happened apparently a while ago, and he was technically employed with the company. So that's a bit alarming.
Catherine's story is at CatherineBosley.com. Let me get you out of here on this. I mentioned that these, a part of the people in the suit were underage. And, you know, look, as a parent, my goodness, you got enough you think you're worried about nowadays. And, you know, you're proud your kid's got a job all of a sudden, you're dropping them off. You got to remind them, too, about the workplace and how they should be treated, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we hear about this kind of thing happening to adult women all the time who say nothing, who they're afraid and they keep quiet until recently they're starting to come forward. So you can only imagine when we're talking about kids, how they're confused and not sure what they should do about it. You know, in this one instance here, he's accused of pushing a girl against a wall, physically turning around, pulling her by her ponytail and putting his hand or forearm into the small of her back, raising his hand like he was going to hit her. And it's taken a while for her to come forward and to join in on this case. So you got to wonder what was going on in the minds of these kids as they're going to work. Is this what the workplace is going to be like? And you got to understand, I mean, a trial like this, it can go on for years. So you got to give it to these kids to have the courage to come forward and the commitment to know that their lives are going to be held up in a court for some time.
Absolutely. 18-page complaint filed in Summit County Common Pleas Court. Catherine Bosley on the story. Find out more about this and more about this whole issue at her site, CatherineBosley.com. Com. Thanks. Have a good day.
Thank you. You too.
Thing on Alexa this morning. Thanks. 7:24. This Bill Wills. Greg Stebbin writes on tech culture, men's health. Follow him on Twitter at Greg Stebbin. Morning, pal.
Hey. Good morning.
I tweeted this morning. Let me get this right. I tweeted at 7:20 tips on how to use Amazon Echo. Maybe I should rephrase that. At 7:20 and on how Amazon Echo actually uses you. I'm not sure. I'm not sure which way it is. You've posted some interesting questions to ask ourselves on the way we're using these Echoes, right?
Well, so I have been doing a little research on Amazon this week in particular, because the headlines about Amazon, which I sometimes get read to me by my Amazon Echo, are pretty startling. So one of the headlines I'm looking at that answers your question there is, if you still call Amazon an online retailer, here's one more reason to stop. So, headlines this week about Amazon, this week and last week, they're going to start delivering Whole Foods groceries within 2 hours for free for Prime members.
Wow.
What does that mean for other local grocery stores? Probably a problem, right?
Yeah.
That's a headline from Fox Business.
Yeah.
Amazon cooks up new Prime perk, 5% back on Whole Foods purchases with the Amazon Prime credit card. That's from USA Today.
Mm.
Today, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Or yesterday. Amazon has quietly launched an exclusive line of over-the-counter health products. That's from CNBC yesterday. So what you begin to realize as you read the headlines just in the last week or 10 days is that as big as Amazon is today and as massive a part of your life as it is, with Prime, with, you know, watching movies, with talking to Alexa, with all of that, it sounds like they haven't even started yet. And you have to begin to ask yourself, in a world that's completely dominated by Amazon, what's my world? What's my life going to look like?
On the retail business side, I know Walmart has an online presence. I know they're trying their best. But the behemoth, I mean, people are driving by their Walmart to get home to tell Alexa what to order from Amazon, right?
Yeah, so here's another headline for you. Albertsons is buying Rite Aid. Walmart's stock falls. There's a common rival. That was from the New York Times yesterday, I think. The common rival is Amazon. Amazon has been trying really hard to compete with Amazon, or Walmart has been working really hard to compete with Amazon in online sales. It didn't go well for them over the holiday season, and they're really suffering for it. And one of the lessons there for all of us is Amazon has been doing this for a long time, online sales. It's really hard. I mean, if Walmart is struggling,
sure,
it's hard.
Exactly.
And what does Amazon have as an advantage here? Time. They've had years to get this right. You can't just decide tomorrow, even if you had billions of dollars to start, which, by the way, Walmart bought a company called Jet a year or so ago that was a specialist in online sales. It didn't help. They're struggling. We need to look at Amazon and say, this may be one of the most important organizations in my life going forward. How do I feel about that?
Didn't I see, though, they had some layoffs at their headquarters out in Seattle, Amazon?
They did. They laid off a few hundred people. That's almost meaningless when you consider that they have, let's see here, 566,000 employees.
Okay.
But why did they lay off people? Well, probably because they're refocusing where they're going. They're refocusing their plan for world domination. And a few hundred people who, by the way, were offered the opportunity to apply for other jobs with Amazon, probably just didn't fit with that larger world domination plan. So it might have been planned for this time to make us think that things are not growing as fast as they are at Amazon.
Right.
But this thing is a staggering, growing monster.
Greg Stebbin helping us understand it. Thank you, Alexa, for playing us this morning as well on your Amazon Echo. Follow Greg Stebbin on Twitter. You can do it manually or have Alexa do it for you at Greg Stebbin. Thanks. Have a great day.
It's great to be here.
And now, 5 good minutes.
I don't think that people should be able to possess a semi-automatic, which can be a weapon of mass destruction.
We don't want to take anyone's Second Amendment rights away. We don't. That's not our goal. But, you know, we do want to make sure that people who have the potential to be dangerous, people who are dangerous, are not able to easily access guns.
Just a few moments ago, I signed a memorandum directing the Attorney General to propose regulations to ban all devices that turn legal weapons into machine guns.
The bump stocks President Trump talking about. He'll be hosting a listening session, it is called today, about safety of kids at school. We're on that topic this morning with Tim Dimoff, President CEO of Sachs Consulting Investigative Services. He has done a lot of consulting and work with companies and schools as well on safety. Tim, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to jump around a little bit, and I apologize, but there's a ton of stuff here for you. First of all, you have written a piece. I know Cozy has posted this, and we'll put a link up as well. If firearms in the workplace, what you need to know? There's the law, there's policy. A lot of people are questioning nowadays, should I have a gun with me?
Yeah. Well, the gun debate, is a strong, it's a worthy debate. And a lot of it, though, also has a lot of emotion in it. You have some very strong pro-gun and anti-gun people, and the emotion gets involved. If you look across the board, a lot of surveys, interviews have been done, and definitely on the firearm side, there needs to be potentially some adjustments. Trying to eliminate firearms totally and thinking, that that's going to eliminate the problem. This Florida shooter, if there was no existence of an AR-15, we destroyed them all in the world. He would have showed up with a couple 9mm and loaded up magazines and still done what he wanted to do. But I also understand on the other end, we don't want to give the type of firepower that just makes it more easier and more bullets that can be shot. So there's a compromise in the middle, and maybe the compromise in the middle is what President Trump just talked about. I think it's important not being able to convert weapons into fully automatic. Secondly, maybe a certain category of firearms, like an AR-15, maybe we have a different set of credentials of obtaining those, such as, you can't be obtaining those type of firearms until 25 years of age or older. That's the same age that you can't rent a car at, and make it harder for younger people, students, kids to get those guns. But the number one thing across the country that all the surveys show is that people want mental illness addressed much more stronger than they do that they want firearms addressed.
This played out in Florida, sadly. There was the tip to the FBI we know about that wasn't, passed along. There were checks on this kid. He could buy guns. Yeah, he had 7 of them legal. Still couldn't go in and buy a beer. I mean, that's the question I have in society when it comes to this. When it comes to, though, the first line of defense, you work with a lot of schools and businesses on security. And you know what? I'm going to fly on a plane, and there could be, a security on there with a guy with a gun. I don't know about it, with 200 other people on the plane. You get 1,000 kids on a school campus, and I don't have a security guard with a gun there.
Yeah. My company, Sachs Consulting, we've researched over 300 active shooter incidents and 1,000 acts of violence, and just a couple common denominators. The first common denominator, which we're not addressing, which would really help, is that shooters, whether they're students, young people, adults, in the majority of cases, not all, but in the majority, they're talking about them, their feelings, their dreams, their goals, their attitude towards people, what they might do, what they're thinking of doing. They're posting stuff on social media. They're showing people pictures on social media. So the bottom line is there's a lot of clues out there that are being told to family, friends, students, coworkers, etc. We don't have a process that says specifically what you do with that info. We just tell people, see something, say something, which I really like. But who do we say something to? Who's exactly do we call? What is that 800 number? What is that app on the phone a student can tap onto? And that's where we're failing. We're not capturing the information. And then half the time when we do get the information, we're not approaching those people and letting them know it's no longer a secret. We do that, we could decrease these shootings significantly.
Sadly, this Cruz didn't break a law till he pulled the trigger the other day. He had everything legal at the time, right?
Yeah, he did. But he came back to that school several times. He wasn't allowed in the school. He came back and tested it. He went in and out of that door a couple times before he came there the other day to shoot. He also told other students. He showed pictures. He had pictures posted. FBI knew he was a potential risk. knock on this kid's door, start talking to him, start letting him know it's no longer a secret. The psychological key here is, as long as these shooters only tell a few people, and they think that's within their own confines of confidence with them and their, and maybe some friends or whatever, they're going to proceed. Once you can pierce that, what we call the secrecy, it significantly prevents these type of things. And then you got mental health. And then the last thing, Bill, which we're pushing right now, we're doing a ton with schools and churches and nonprofits. I'm going to tell you where this issue has to stop. It stops at the door. We cannot let these kids, hundreds of kids, as you said, walk in a door. I just went to a school. I watched 400 or 500 kids from 8 to 8:15 walk in a door. No adults there. No metal detectors. Nothing. We need to stop it at the door. You can't stop it inside the building. And we need to change.
Tim Dimoff, President CEO of Sachs Consulting Investigative Services. Tim, thanks.
Thanks.
Complete Cavaliers coverage with News Radio WTAM 1100, home of the Cavaliers, brought to you by Huntington. Want a bank that believes in looking out for its customers? Welcome to Huntington. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside Fred McLeod of Call It On TV for your Cavs, joins us this morning after the All-Star break. Hi, Fred.
Good morning, fellas. Recess is over. It's time to get back to class here.
Isn't that the truth? And yeah. I like the kids I'm going to class with now, too, yeah. After this new look team, Fred.
Yeah, in fact, it's funny. I just looked up yesterday. It's only two games. I understand that. But the Cavs have the best offensive rating and the 10th best defensive rating. Short sample size, I know that. But it tells you that they're trending in the right direction and, you know, have the ability to really put the ball in the hole and get after it a lot better defensively. So I think I know the fan base is incredibly excited. If social media means anything, and it usually does. Everybody anxious for the game tomorrow night and, you know, meet him for the first time at home.
I think everybody wants to see more, Fred. It has been really stunning how seamless it has been. And I think, you know, week before the trades, it was actually, we talked a lot about the lack of defense, but that group was struggling to score. And now in these last two games in which the newcomers have been on board, over 120 points in each game, they really look like they fit right now, don't they?
Yeah, you know, and they enjoy being around each other. So, you know, that many times will cover up any sins that may occur on the defensive end of the floor during a ball game, because they will cover for each other. And so I think we're just kind of dabbling in that right now, where they're still learning plays. They'll get back to practice this afternoon. And think about it. Cavs don't have back-to-back days off until the final week of the season. So it's every other day, literally, 16 games in March. So it's they'll have to use their time at the optimum. They'll have plenty of practices, but they'll have to be able to learn things again on the fly, learn each other on the fly.
Yeah, and a long Western trip as well. And as you mentioned, Fred, this is not the second half of the year. We're down to the final third. Now, you, of course, were in L.A. for the All-Star weekend, and I know you spoke one-on-one with LeBron. He seems to be so rejuvenated by everything that's happened with the changing, the transfusion of talent, so to speak. What did you take from him as he looked at his team going the rest of the way?
Just, I know him pretty darn well. I'm a big believer in body language. He just lights up. I mean, he's just talking about this group, and there's a glow there. And not only does he feel it, but Kevin Love feels it, and spent some time with Kevin as well, and Larry Nance Jr. now in the fray, and so plus the other three newcomers. And it's just I think it's fit, and Kobe Altman has talked about that, changing the culture and getting it back to where he thought it would be, and it's such a delicate balance, as we know, and certainly in the NBA and in professional sports overall, just to have that proper chemistry where guys are really believing in themselves and there's no doubt creeping in at all.
Well, they are doing it on the fly as they get back to action tomorrow. Fred, when you look at it now the rest of the way, there are going to be some trials along this as they still figure things out, but they're now number three in the East. Your thoughts on how important it is to move up, even if it's just one spot?
You know, that's where LeBron has actually had most of his success, getting to the finals in that number two seed in his career, even more so than the number one seed. So it'd be good if they could, but if not, then you're on the other side of the bracket. And you know, it means going into the playoffs having to win one road game, and we know how well LeBron has fared in those.
They can do that, so, I think. Yeah.
You know, they're not going to look. Everybody knows the most important thing is health, and if they're feeling good and physically and mentally, listen, let the chips fall as they may in terms of trying to win a game or two on the road. They're not going to lose sleep over that.
Cavs Wizards Thursday night at the Q, then to Memphis on Friday night. Fred McLeod with us from Fox Sports. Fred, thanks, pal.
Always a pleasure, fellas.
Love the role Kathy Bates had in Misery, right?
Oh, you'd love to do that.
And now, 5 Good Minutes.
They're doing Misery on stage, the Stephen King unforgettable thriller at the Hanna Theater Playhouse Square through March 11th. News Radio WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills and Andrew May with us on the hotline this morning, who plays Mr. Sheldon. Andrew, good morning. I appreciate your time.
Good morning. Great to talk to you.
I apologize, but my producer, Scooter Reese, pulled the cut from the movie.
The operation was called hobbling.
Whatever you think I'm not doing, please don't do it.
And I'm just curious, do you wake up every morning thinking, oh, no, I'm going to have my ankles done again tonight on stage?
Well, no, but I'll tell you, during rehearsals, we had quite a few nightmares going around the cast. Yeah, that's true.
Well, congratulations on the role, and obviously ties, people that know local theater know your ties to Northeast Ohio, too, right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Born in Medina, Ohio, Medina County Hospital, though we lived in Hinckley at the time, and then lived in Cleveland Heights for years. So, yeah, love Cleveland.
Let's talk about the stage. You've done many roles over the years. You've dabbled in some TV as well and some different productions. As I have a chance to talk to different actors, mm-hmm. I don't care what level of work they may do, almost to an actor, they will tell me the stage is the place. That's where you punch your ticket. You get that reaction from the audience, right?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. That's the place. It's impossible to be in a TV studio or on a film set and really know how you're doing until someone tells you they've seen the daily rushes. But you get that response immediately from a live audience. Yeah.
Tell me about research or the role for Misery. I mean, you play Sheldon, Paul Sheldon, who awakes mm-hmm. at this secluded home. I mean, a lot of people will know the movie, the book. Does that put more pressure on you because we know the story and the character?
Well, it does, but it doesn't because, we live in a world now where people get their research first from film and then they go back and compare it to something else. Usually it used to be the film was the last thing to come out. There was the book, there was the play, there was the novel, and then, of course, there was the final film adaptation. Stephen King's, ironically, of all the film adaptations of Stephen King, really only two are highly memorable, one being a Misery and the other being the one with Jack Nicholson and the axe,
In The Shining.
In The Shining,
right.
Yes. And those are iconic American films, but so many other attempts at making Stephen King work on film sort of fell flat, probably because they couldn't on film adhere to the books as well. Yeah.
Good point. 1987 novel that originally came to the theater with the work that Rob Reiner had done in Misery is at the Hanna Theater Playhouse Square through March 11th with the role Paul Sheldon being played by portrayed by Andrew May. You're also, congratulations, Mamma Mia will be here, and you'll be working on that as well, right?
Absolutely, yeah, in the fall. And so, I've got a full Cleveland season, which is great because it's been nine years since I was here treading the boards. And so that's not true. I toured through with Warhorse about five years ago, but I was only here for a week. But this time it'll be for a longer duration. I'm looking forward to it. I'm so impressed, by the way, with Cleveland over the past decade. It's like a new city. And I'm having a blast. It's an amazing change for the best.
The investment has been amazing downtown. And you know, finally, Andrew, as you know, in traveling, but we're so proud of our theater district, second to New York in seats. And I think it's sadly, I you never want to take it for granted, that whole Playhouse Square area. But maybe we do. We shouldn't do that.
Oh God, no! It's a treasure. I mean, I was just having lunch with a friend from out of town the other day, and I was showing her around the different theaters. And she her mouth was just hanging open. She said, "I had no idea." I said, "Yeah, a lot of people in Northeast Ohio don't have an idea, but it is. It's second only to the Broadway houses in terms of space. But in one place, in one city, it's tops." It's amazing.
Andrew May, Paul Sheldon in Misery, Stephen King's unforgettable thriller at the Hanna Theater, Playhouse Square, through March 11th. Get your tickets and enjoy. And good luck with them ankles tonight, by the way, okay?
Oh, thank you very much.
Andrew, thanks for the time. Continued success.